Hey there, welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back, relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
We're talking about game changers, and which in short mean making changes that change everything. New facts, new factors, new approaches that change everything. And talking specifically about marriage, let's take a moment as we get into God's Word and get into this message that we do our part in preparing our hearts for God, what God's wanting to do in us, with us, through us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you and we need you. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for taking on our faults, our shame, our failings, our brokenness on the cross, humbly, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that we're not alone and we're not left to just trying to figure it out, Lord, or to muscle our way through the things that you call us to. And thank you for your church, Lord, that there is a brotherhood, a sisterhood, a strength, a support, accountability, a family that we can follow, a family that we can ask for help for, a family that we can lock arms with and do this together. And thank you for your word. Lord, you wrote a book. Thank you for leading us, guiding us through your inspired word to give us a path and to shine light on that path of what you call us to. Pray for our hearts that they would be soft and pliable to you and your spirit and what you're wanting to do in and through us all today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you were with us week one, I kicked the series off and we talked about some of these bricks as we're talking about laying a foundation in relationships. We build walls over time between each other to protect ourselves as there's junk that's in the way, like one of this, like expecting them to be you. You should expect them to be you, to think like you, to feel like you, to do exactly what you do, to clean dishes like you, to handle their clothes like you, right? So we talked about those things, tearing that wall down, but building up, knowing what those weak, vulnerable parts are on the exterior, where we get attacked, where we're underdeveloped or whatever, and giving room for each other and so on. Then we had Michael Reyes preach week two, and there was a quote that he said that really impacted me, that's kind of led me in this message, and he was talking about the secret of a happy marriage being to learn how to love an imperfect person. As an imperfect person, learning to love somebody else that's imperfect too, and just how that changes things. And then what really kind of tipped the scale for me was Gabe Cleave's message last week, and there's a lot of good things, but there was one thing in particular when he was talking about a microscope and how we take people's faults, or not even faults, maybe perceived faults, how we view it, their differences, putting them under a microscope and blowing them up, making them way bigger than they're supposed to be or actually are. And he shared a lot of his journey with us. So for me, the series that I was supposed to be on, according to the preaching team, you know, and us and we being on the same series and same topics and so on, was From Hurriedness to Health. So just talking about busyness and talking about finding balance in busyness when it comes to marriage, family, relationship, and so on. But 3 weeks later, I couldn't really go there. I really felt compelled to go a different route. So if that's you and you're needing to hear a message and hear the word preached about from hurried to healthy, do tap into the website, to the app, and listen to Patrick Canotti at our Post Falls campus or Jim Blazin with the North campus. Super accessible tomorrow or Tuesday, they'll be up online. For me, where I wanted to go was from refusing to repairing. That's what's on my heart. From refusing to repairing. And this is why. Okay? This series truly has been a game changer for Lisa and I, for me and my wife, and to share with you where I've been, where we've been, is I have to share life with me from a day-to-day basis in a close, intimate relationship like a marriage. You can't get any closer, knowing everything about one another. From day to day, I'm naturally pretty self-absorbed. And I'm pretty good at it. I do a pretty good job of loving myself, of thinking about myself and thinking what I want to do and doing what I want to do and caring about that. That comes natural to me. Now, some people, they hate themselves. Some people do not love themselves. Some people have. Others haven't valued them well, and they've bought those lies, and they are far too hard on themselves, and they really fight that. Some people do, and that's not my fight. That's not my struggle. I don't have a problem with that. No offense to anybody single. A lot of great friends, close friends that are single. I would be a great single guy, being very committed to my way. I would walk in that real well. So insert a person in an intimate relationship like marriage. If it's not my way, I'll say something. And I'll say a lot of things over a long period of time. And I'll criticize things that aren't done my way. Or I'll just be irritated about what's not my way for years. Insert years. And then my message. When you have to preach, you have to, if you're really going to preach, my opinion is you have to own it yourself first. You have to let it penetrate your heart. So the first message that I preached, the wall tearing down, the wall building, Michael's message regarding being imperfect and loving other imperfect people, and then Gabe's message about blowing up small things or differences, It really did pierce my heart. And this is the conviction. I really have not given Lisa the room that she's needed to be her and to be different than me, which is good. And I have allowed myself to be far too critical of her too often, which has led her, unfortunately and sadly, it's led her to believe that she can't do anything right at times, which is not the case at all. And then I have acted pretty self-sufficiently and pretty self-absorbed, which has also led her to believe that I'd be just fine without her. And as I let that sink in, those truths and struggles, it really did break my heart. It really did make me sad. And here's the truth. I want to be with Lisa. I don't want to be on my own. Left to myself, I am far too absorbed, self-absorbed. And God seems to think the same way. When he said, Genesis 2:18, it's not good that Pat Lissard is alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. That's the Pat Lissard paraphrase version, which some of you are familiar with. Another truth is that God picked her. God picked her. And I want who he has picked. Two reasons. He knows what he's doing. And then secondly, I've picked before, and my picker is broke. And some of you guys know that for yourselves, firsthand experience, right? I get far too focused, to know the truth is I get far too focused on minor things and differences and fault, and then put them under a microscope and make them too big, and that's not what I'm called to. As a husband, I'm called to love her as I would love myself, Ephesians 5:33. So I say again, each man must love his wife as he loves himself. So in the same heart, in the same way, in the same capacity that I do think of myself well, I'm to take that same energy, intention, and insert my wife in that same capacity because I'm one now. It's not two, the two shall become one, right? And as an imperfect person, continuing to love an imperfect person, which there's a word for that, it's called grace, right? And then I just straight up, I want to be with her. I want to be with her. It's far better. I don't want to be with anybody else, and I don't want to be with just myself. I want to be with her. So we both ended up writing letters to each other because of this. We had some different convictions, and we both ended up writing these letters. And the value of that was it gave me time to be able to really just kind of process versus having a conversation. I just need to kind of process through these things and speak to these specific things. And likewise, her. And we had a game-changing conversation in our 11 years of being together. And admitting things, repairing damage, addressing hurts, and recommitting to how we wanted to move forward differently than what we had. And it was really good. It was really healthy. It was really hard, but it was really good. So I share this with you, not for just an amazing sermon illustration, like I'm going to fabricate this stuff. You're kidding me. But I really know that every single one of us needs as much help as possible when it comes to walking out the things that God has called us to walking out in relationship. Because insert people, and there is hurt. Insert people, there is expectations that aren't fulfilled, there's disappointment, there's criticalness, there's pain, there's challenge, insert people. And it is every single one of our experiences from the very day that we're born to the very day that we die, there's people, right? And how we walk through these things and how we walk before the Lord in the things that he's called us to matters. It matters greatly. It actually affects our future and others' future too. There's a lot at stake. There's a lot at stake. So we have treacherous ground that we're walking on. How many of you have been walking in the snow for some time this winter, right? How many of you are loving it? Yeah, there's a few. How many of you are hating it? Come on, why is it still here, right? How many of you have been walking in other people's footprints? Other tracks, you know, as you're walking this treacherous ground, this snow, slippery, icy, driving in it, walking in it, you're looking for other people's tracks to be able to follow, right? Because it's easier. You're in your slippers and you forgot to take out the garbage and you got to hurry up, right? Or whatever it may be, you got to warm up the car, or you're taking a walk around Tubbs Hill or whatever it is, right? There is a path that we're wanting to follow because it's easier. It's better, and we need all the help we can get because winter's not going away, you guys. We got 6 months left. It's going to keep coming. Praise the Lord, right? Amen, right? Footprints. So I say my story with Lisa and I as footprints for you guys to follow too. 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul said this, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." In other words, follow my example as I'm following Christ. And we all need that. We need people that we can follow those footsteps as we walk this treacherous ground. And I am one of many examples here of people that go, hey, I don't have it figured out. I am walking the path in my imperfections, in my frailty. I'm walking that path. There are many brothers and sisters here that we can, as the family of God, walk in those paths. I'm walking in other people's paths as they're laying it down before me. I'm not out there just blazing trail by myself. Look at me, I'm amazing. Right? No. We need each other. And some of you are disciple makers, right? Some of you are mature and down the road further, and you are helping blaze trail and helping others come alongside for them to follow in your footsteps of this treacherous ground called relationships and intimacy and hurt and pain and hard conversations and forgiveness, right? These things that make up life and relationships and people, these things that God's called us to. And so we need footprints to follow. Follow me as I follow Christ. That's the goal. That is our goal, following Christ. And with that, we need others. We need others that are following those examples. For some of us, maybe this is earlier, newer to us, and there are footprints that we're needing to follow. Reach now for help, and how do I navigate these things? So that's the approach I'm wanting to go as we're looking for from refusing to repairing. I want to go to the book of James for this. And so if you have your Bibles, you want to go there on your phones, go to the book of James. If you're new to the Bible, it's towards the end, after the book of Hebrews, before the book of 1 Peter, it's between there. And James was not written for marriage. James was not written for marriage. It was written for Christians living out in faith, living out their faith before God in the midst of challenge, struggle, and how to press in with each other, with God. And so I want to look at God's word through the book of James and see what God would have us for us in view of marriage, okay? In view of relationships. If you don't find yourself in that season of life and you have kids, view it in that. Or friendships, view it in that, okay? So why James? Of all, why James? Okay, this is why James. James did not believe in Jesus. James knew Jesus, and he did not believe in Jesus. He knew about Jesus. James was the half-brother of Jesus. James grew up watching Jesus as his older brother, and yet he did not believe. He struggled in believing Jesus really was who he said he was. Jesus could really change anything or change anyone, let alone change the world, let alone change your circumstances, right? And some of us find ourselves there doubting. Doubting that Jesus can change anything. I've been at this for a long time. They're not changing. I keep finding myself falling in the same stupid behavior or whatever it may be. James doubted too. And then his heart was changed. His heart was changed, and his heart continued to change. And Jesus continued to change his heart. And Jesus can continue to change our hearts too. Even though we may know Jesus or know about Jesus, he can continue to change our hearts, our minds, our circumstances. And so James was changed so much that he wrote a book, and it's called James, about living faith before God in the midst of challenging circumstances. So that's why James. So as we look at this, again, in view with the lens of marriage, okay? So, week four, last week here, from resisting to repairing. This is the bad news part. Hang with me. This is the bad news. From resisting. When we resist admitting our wrongs, that's your first fill in the blank there. When we resist admitting our wrongs, we make God out to be a liar. When we resist admitting to God, yep, that's broken. And that is not pure, and that's not right. We are telling God, you're a liar. You're a liar. It's not true. La, 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 I can't hear you. You're a liar. Because he says, we all stumble in many ways. We all stumble in how many ways? Yeah, that's like countless, right? And guess what? You and me, you stumble more than you know. You're aware of this. Other people are aware of this, right? We get to see each other's stumblings in lots of different shapes and sizes. We all stumble in many ways. And when we resist humbling, admitting our wrongs, we make God out to be a liar, okay? Building off of top of that, when we resist humbling ourselves before others, we reject God's hand of grace extended to us when we resist humbling ourselves before others. We reject God's hand. James 4:6. But God gives more grace. Therefore, Because God gives more grace, God opposes the proud, literally is against the proud. You are fighting against God himself, but he gives grace to the humble. So when we say, I'm not going to admit anything that I've done wrong until you do first, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And when we say, I would not have done blah, 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 if you would not have done blah, blah, blah first, God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. When we resist humbling ourselves before others, we are literally slapping the hand of grace that God is kindly, generously, unlimitedly, if that's a word, giving to us. And then on top of that, when we resist following through, your third fill in the blank there, when we resist following through on our convictions, we sell everyone short. We sell everyone short. James 1, 22 through 24. Don't just listen to God's word. You got to do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. So we have God's word, and it says a lot of things. The Holy Spirit wrote this book through godly men, and it consistently and accurately was passed down for thousands of years, communicating who God has always been, who he is and who he always will be, and some very specific things for us to know about him and each other and how to do this thing called life. It's the manual of life, okay? So we're reading this, we're checking it out, and God communicates all sorts of things. And so it's like a mirror, and you look and you go, oh, nasty. I have like a horrible piece of selfishness right between my teeth. I've got this piece of timber out of my eye of pride. That is not good. Oh, geez. My skin is so dry, I really need some lotion because of my self-centeredness. I should probably take care of that. That's not really appeasing, too. That cold sore is gross. Man, those things grow so bad and so fast and so gross. My unloving disrespect. Gosh. And another thing, when you do this and you say this and you always do this and you never do that and I can't believe you. Don't just listen to God's word. You got to do what it says. Otherwise, you're fooling yourselves. You're fooling yourselves. For if you listen to God's word and don't obey it, you're like glancing in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. When we resist admitting our wrongs, humbling ourselves before others, and not following through on the convictions that we have, we are resisting the Spirit. We are resisting. Those are works of the Spirit in us admitting our wrongs, participating with the Spirit. In us humbling ourselves before others, participating with the Spirit. Us following through on convictions, participating with the Spirit. For a horrible example of how it goes when you don't participate with the Spirit, see Acts 7:51 for further study. When we resist the Spirit, we sell everybody short. We sell everybody short. You sell yourself short and you stunt your growth. You stunt your healing, you stunt your maturity, you stunt your development, you stunt your freedom, you stunt your hope. You also stay deceived in thinking that you're right, you're not wrong, your way's better, or whatever it may be. Walking in deception is never good. That's Satan's trick, it's Satan's ploy, it never brings life, it always brings death, right? And we hurt those that we love, the very people that we love, the very people we want to be with, we hurt them. And then lastly, we are an example. We are making trail for other people to follow. Christian, mom, dad, friend, spouse, single person, employee, people are watching you. People are watching you. People are watching how you carry Jesus' name. People are watching you and how you have been forgiven, spouse. How God has forgiven you, yet you won't. People are watching you. You have influence in how you carry his name and how you have the Spirit inside you. The same Spirit I do. Same Spirit Moses did, the same Spirit that the guy next to you, right? Same Spirit. How you carry the Spirit who was given to us to enable us to do what we cannot do on ourselves, by ourselves. We are an example of what we do with that, how we carry that. That's the bad news from resisting, okay? So from resisting, let's move on to something better, to repairing. From resisting to repairing. When we repair damage by repenting well, when we repair damage by repenting well, we find freedom. Look no further. Jesus' words, John 8, it is the truth that sets you free. So as we are in relationship with God, he's so good, he invites us into a relationship with him, and we participate with him on his level of honesty, genuineness, transparency, not fake, plastic, insincere, right? We participate with him in vulnerability. There is repentance. And when we walk that out well, it manifests beautiful fruit called freedom, called healing, called hope in our lives. The enemy has done a horrible job. He's done a really good job on his end, horrible for us, in tainting that word that it'd be a bad word. It's an amazing word. It is such a good word. Man, if we were awesome, if we were awesome at repenting well, that would be a game changer. If we learned how to know what our faults are, as God exposes those things as graciously as a good dad he is and does and disciplines his kids. He points those things out and we respond imperfectly, every single one of us, right? We respond with him to that. Oh, yep, that's right. I need to deal with that. I don't know how to, so I'm going to need your help. And I don't know how to do just this, so I'm going to need your help too, right? This is where I'm struggling. This is where I'm hurt. This is where I messed up. This is where I keep relapsing and kind of falling back into behavior that I promised I'd never do again, right? We learn how to repent well. Watch out. Satan, watch out. There's freedom and healing and hope to be had as we step out of the darkness and walk in the light. James 1, 16, 17, don't be deceived, my brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. James 3, 9, with our tongues, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in his likeness from the Father of lights. Going back to that first verse there. Spouse, look to your spouse. Parent, look to your kid. Kid, look to your parent. Kid, look to your sibling. Friend, look to your friend. Go ahead. Do it. Look at each other. They are your gift. They are your gift. God, the Father of lights, the Father of the stars in the sky, the creator of the universe, thought so kindly to give you the gift that he has given you of each other. They're his. They're his. How we treat them matters. Made in his likeness matters. There's in value beyond anything. How we handle them matters. Come humbling ourselves. Come repenting, okay? When we repair damage by restoring relationship, we find healing. Look at this in view of marriage, James 5:16. Confess your sins to one another. Let's just stop there. Let's just stop there. Spouse, confess your sins to one another. Like, really. Like, name it. Don't downplay it. Don't soft sell it. Don't leave stuff out for the sake of self-preservation. Say it. Name it. And we don't need to just stop there. Confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so you may be, what? Say that louder like you mean it. Do you believe that? Confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so that you may be, because as we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. We have communion with one another. We have koinonia with one another. There's intimate, abiding closeness that we can have once we deal with our junk. And we meet each other on that peaceable level, restoring those relationships. When we repair damage, we restore relationships and we find healing. We bring about healing in their lives, in their hearts, because we hurt each other, as well as healing in our own. It's amazing. Satan wants to keep you from that. Satan wants to keep you thinking, I can't tell them. I could never tell them. I couldn't admit to that. Satan wants to keep that in the darkness, keep you ridden and enslaved with guilt and shame and pain. Jesus is over here inviting you, follow me. I offer you freedom and healing and hope. Let's say you're married, and I got to figure out how to wrap this up. I'm at my time. Let's say you're married, and they're not willing to participate with you at that level. Okay? That's real. You want to go there, and they're not willing. Can you still, who's responsible to do your part? Are they? No. And how much responsible are you to do your part? 100%. So let's say you're standing before your living God. You're a Christian. You walk before the Lord Almighty, your Heavenly Father, good God, good Dad, right? You're walking before God, and you do your part, and they're not willing to go there with you. Are you still doing the right thing before God? Are you still doing all that you can do on your side? Praise God. Praise God. Is God not going to reward you and honor you in that? Oh my goodness. Do your part, right? Even if they're not willing, whatever. That's between them and God. And sure, it affects us. And we can at least do our part, and we can pave the way for them to follow. You have to admit you're wrong always first before they come around. Who cares? Show them how. Be gracious in that. It's all good. Be right before our Lord, right? It's a beautiful thing that God invites us into. And then lastly, when we repair damage by refocusing our commitment, we change the future. Okay, as the Spirit leads us into this, we change the future. By the wisdom from above, it's first of all pure. It's also peace-loving and gentle at times, and on and on and on. It brings about good fruit. It brings about good things in our lives. As we follow the Spirit and we are refocusing our commitments from, I'm going to point out everything you do wrong. Right? That is my commitment in life, in marriage. I am going to make sure you know every fault and everything I don't like, right? To, I need to make sure my heart's right before the Lord. And when I get off track, I need to make sure I make that right with you. And I need to refocus on the things that I am committing to. That's following the Spirit, and that's going to produce good. Purity. Peace, righteousness, it's going to produce good. Way more fulfilling and satisfying than holding on to sin and hard-heartedness. I want to take just a moment to take some time to pray, okay? I want us to bow our heads, close our eyes, get comfortable with the Lord, get comfortable with the Spirit. And I just want to just kind of lead us through a couple prayers in what God could be doing in our hearts as we just wrap our time up here this morning. First off, is there anything you're needing to admit and see the same way with God? Is there anything you're needing to repent of and admit with God? What is it? Name it. Name the sucker. You got to call it what it is. Don't minimize it. Don't leave stuff out. That'd be following Satan, be following the flesh, live in honesty and truth before our heavenly dad. He already knows. You're not telling him anything new. What is God calling you to do with that? Next, regarding restoring relationships. It starts with us admitting we've hurt somebody. Who comes to mind, who's on your heart, somebody that you've hurt? Name it. How have you hurt them? Call it what it is. You're walking before a gracious God, a forgiving God. What's on your heart regarding that relationship? What are you needing to do? What are you needing to say? What are they needing to hear? Some of these more challenging relationships require wisdom, that we would lean on others to know how to navigate well because of unhealthy things we may fall back into. And so we need to press in to God and truth and wisdom in how we navigate some of these relationships. What is God calling you into in that? And then lastly, convictions. Is there something recently that you have not followed through on, a conviction, a commitment that you have not recently followed through on? I have one that comes to mind for me. It's been 15 years that I haven't followed through on it, and I'm ready. We all get hurt. We all suffer. We all struggle. And other people are watching us and how we handle that, how we handle disappointment and letdown. And none of us does it perfectly, not one of us. A lot of our tendency is, I'm not doing it perfectly, therefore I'm horrible. And the Spirit invites us to go far beyond that, to not get stuck in that quicksand, and to go beyond it, where there's honesty and humility and grace. One last question. What's the trail that you're blazing for other people to follow? Those steps, as you carry the Spirit, as you walk in truth, as you repair damage, as you do that imperfectly, how do you handle forgiveness? Are there other people behind you following your footsteps, watching? Is there something you're needing to do or do different? What is that? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your truth and your grace and your love. Lord, thank you for the freedom that you invite us into. I pray for our church, for our brothers, for our sisters, that we would walk in your grace well, we would walk in your truth well, and that we as disciples of yours and disciple makers, we would help others do that too. We plead these things by the blood of Jesus, in the name of the Father and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or a giving opportunity, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.